Why do we focus on women? First, this research is done by the Women's Center, so that's one of the main excuses. But the reason is that prior to Katrina, pardon me for my voice, I'm losing my voice because of a cold. Prior to Katrina, women were 54% of the population of New Orleans. They made up about 80% of the people left behind to fend for themselves during and after the storm. The effect of disasters. People who are affected by natural disasters can develop psychological disorders such as depression, chronic anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Anxiety disorders could include, but are not limited to, PTSD, acute stress disorder, and generalized anxiety disorder. Gender is a critical determinant of mental health, and women outnumber men in most anxiety disorder categories, especially PTSD. And I have to point out here that PTSD usually takes a longer time before it manifests itself. Usually we have the short-term stress and depression, and those who do not come out of that initial stress disorders then go on to the more acute, more chronic form, which is PTSD. Identity crisis. When Hurricane Katrina happened, a lot of us were, some of us had evacuated before the storm, and then some people evacuated after the storm. But while we were away from home, people didn't even know how to classify us anymore. And that in and of itself was a stressful situation where you, a U.S. citizen, you now all of a sudden become a refugee in your own country. Some people were like, okay, don't call them refugees, call them evacuees. Were we internally displaced? Were we victims? It all depends on what you were going through at the time. I think we were victims in more situations than one, not just the storm, but the aftermath of the storm and the response that came with that, or the lack of response. But what we all agree on is that displacement impacts the physical and mental health of the affected people. The goal of this research was to understand the healthcare needs of a sample of women in New Orleans affected by Hurricane Katrina by assessing the women's self-identified stressors and how they respond to them. From what Dr. Magnus had already said earlier, we had several programs going on in the community before the storm. However, after the storm, everybody was changed. We were changed as individuals affected by the storm. And so the center had to reassess itself and reassess the community that they served so that we would know how to move forward. Because we didn't know, is it okay to continue doing our programs, business as usual, as if nothing happened? Or is there something else that we need to know about before we start up anew and afresh? The objectives for this research was to facilitate an open discussion about post-Katrina stress and stressors and their relationship to New Orleans women's healthcare needs, and to explore New Orleans women's perceptions of stress, to identify at least 5 stressors that influence New Orleans women's health, and to identify post-Katrina social support systems of New Orleans women. The study. We recruited through flyers and word of mouth, and you all know there was no telephone anymore. Well, there were telephones, but the lines didn't work, or the numbers no longer worked. The addresses of all our partners were no longer the real addresses anymore. People were just scraping and trying to return and to go back to normal, but things were not normal anymore. And we had to rely on posters and signs on the roadside to know where things are, you know, and to find out that church community we used to work on, that was on Martin Luther King, is now on how we get to know what people are. You just drive around or you walk around. So we use a lot of word of mouth to get people to this study. The participants were two groups of women, of at least 6 women each, age 18 and older, who lived in New Orleans prior to Hurricane Katrina. For obvious reasons, we wanted women who have experienced the storm. And the methods we used was focus group. There was a facilitator, a note taker, and an observer. What we did at the Women's Center was that we held a mass training of all the students and actually had them practice focus groups within the center. So we had more than enough people to staff or to facilitate a focus group. All research assistants were required to take a Tulane IRB online course on research with human subjects. And they were also trained on how to conduct focus groups and to implement interviews. A focus group protocol was developed and piloted by the staff and students of the center. 10 women participated in the focus groups finally, and the participants' age range between 20 and 17 years old. One thing I have to point out here is that even though we did have a timeline in which to conduct this focus group, or we thought we had a timeline, we weren't able to meet that timeline because there were too many competing factors in these women's lives that keeping to their word that they would come to your focus group at 4 p.m. on a weekday or on a weekend was not their priority. If they've been waiting for a contractor to show up, you know, for so many weeks, and the contractor decided that he's going to show up on the day your focus group is going to happen, just know that you're not going to have a focus group that day because they will go and get, you know, see their contractor or something. Consent forms were read and signed. The protocol consisted of open-ended questions that explored the following: why people return. That question, why people return, is so important in this research because while we were displaced or evacuees or whatever that people called us, and as soon as somebody walks up to you, are you going back? Yeah, I'm going back. Why? So what people don't understand, I'm speaking from the perspective of somebody who is an immigrant who has lived in New Orleans for the past 10 years, and so I consider New Orleans my home. But there are people who have lived in New Orleans for generations, hundreds of years. So when you ask somebody, are you going back and why? It's heartbreaking for these women, and a lot of them, they could tell you everything about what they're going through with their house being flooded and everything with a very straight face. But when they come to that question of why go back, they broke down. So people don't understand that this is my home. So that question was very important to be part of our protocol. We also asked the evacuation experience, pre- and post-Katrina accommodation, which is a big issue, individual and family health, relationships, stressors, coping mechanisms. The data, the focus group discussions were all audio taped. The tapes were then transcribed into Word documents using Express Scribe software, and notes and observations were also typed and used as supporting documents. The data was then uploaded onto Atlas TI qualitative data analysis software. The findings. Stress was a major issue, is that surprising? And there were several stressors in the women's lives happening at the same time. That was the key issue there, is that several stressors were happening at the same time. And each person was unique in the types of stressors that are happening at that particular time. And for one person, one week to the next is also different because the stressors that are influencing their life at this point in time may not be the same the next week. But joblessness, homelessness, financial strain, dealing with insurance and FEMA, trying to rebuild home, trying not to stress on the femur too much, but that came up a lot of times. So these are all the things that happen, the stressors, pregnancy status at the time of the storm or evacuation or return influence what stress am I. Female, of course, physical and mental health, lack of medical insurance, financial issues, loss of employment, political environment in New Orleans, homeowners and flood insurance issues, accommodation issues. I can tell you about accommodation issues. I had to rent a one-bedroom apartment for $950 a month. That wasn't nice at all, but that's a whole different story. More on the stress thing, there was uncertainty. A lot of uncertainty. Should I rebuild? Shouldn't I rebuild? I can tell you for one that I had a Sam's Club, a Walmart, a Save Center, Save a Lot close to where I lived, and they were all gutting the buildings when I started gutting mine. And then they stopped and they packed and left. And everybody was like, they must know something that we don't know. Why aren't they rebuilding? So all my neighbors all stopped at the same time. We're not going to rebuild. If they know, they must know something, you know. And that was stressful to be so uncertain about the future. Dealing with situations and institutions that were beyond individuals' control. And these are some of the quotes that the women had. Rent went up 3 times and everyone went back to business as usual. Nobody was looking out for those who cannot afford their rent. And the landlords were making big business out of it. Finances are a joke. Paying more in rent than it was for a house. Need medical benefits. Everything seems to work against me. I feel like I'm being punished. That woman said that through tears, she was shaking uncontrollably when she said that. Remaining in New Orleans during the storm was also a major issue. Reliving the events over and over and over again. Seeing the devastation of homes and neighborhoods. Not knowing where family and friends were was also a major issue. Trouble sleeping, headaches, burning eyes. The burning eyes came from a lot of women who were living in trailers. So that was a major issue for them. They said the trailer must have been emitting some kind of gas that was burning their eyes. Over and under eating, and therefore weight gain or weight loss, depending on what the person is going through. Lack of resources to prevent and or treat stress-related disorders. There is no place to go get help. I have no health insurance. So now, looking at the coping themes that we found when we discussed with these women, how they were coping with everything that they just told us. Some said reading books, some said smoking and drinking, education, attending school, cultural programs, Red Cross, religiosity, praying or attending church or some group-related activity. That was a major coping strategy for a lot of these women. More coping themes. We found out that the coping themes kind of fell into positive and negative themes. The positive ones were those that involved religion, praying, going to church, being active in civic organizations or programs, having or sharing group level activities, and just keeping busy with helping yourself and others. Now, the negative coping strategies involve self-medication, alcohol, drugs, smoking. Keeping busy came up again in the negative side also, because when we analyzed what the women said, some of them who said they were keeping busy trying to avoid the stressors, and so avoiding to deal with what was going on, whereas others were keeping busy trying to help themselves and others, looking for different ways where they can get help. So we had to further analyze that particular strategy that was given to us. The need. affordable housing, better living conditions, employment, schools, medical insurance. Why rebuild, which is a major question, like I said earlier, why are you going back, is usually the question. Why do you want to rebuild? We had to ask them, and this woman said, well, I've lived here all my life, and I want you all to take note of that phrase, all my life. All those who were born and raised in New Orleans always use that term when I ask them that question. I've lived here all my life, and I've known nothing else but New Orleans. And I've visited other places that I felt most comfortable when I was here. And another woman said, it would be easy to just run away and forget this mess. And I said, no, I'm going to face reality, take care of my business. This is my house, and I'm going to do the best I can. Conclusion. Post-Katrina stress is multidimensional. And most stressors tend to be at the community, institutional, and or policy levels, even though the effects are seen on the individual level. New Orleans women plan to rebuild no matter what. And religion and group level activities tend to provide the most needed support for coping. Therefore, the recommendation that we have from this is that health services, education, and support programs should emphasize the variation of responses to stress. Partner with religious organizations to better meet the needs of the community women and to build in group-level support processes. Incorporate New Orleans culture, food, music, and community, because that's what makes us different. Thank you all so much.